I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
I was a former teacher, and I used to be around kids all the time anyways, but just being with my own kids is at least twice as hard as my old job. So the people that I'm close with, my friends and family, they know how hard it is. I've told them. So I don't really get that, like, that's awesome, you don't have to work, because they know, like, what I'm doing and how difficult it is.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to The Dad Experience. We have a very fun episode today. Today we have the guys from Bring Dad a Beer podcast. Great podcast. Check them out if you haven't done so already. Just a lot of fun, a lot of great information, and it's always great to talk to other dads doing podcasts and just doing the dad thing and are up for just sharing that information. So today we have Jeff and Kent on from the Bring Dad a Beer podcast, and we're going to get right at it. So fellas, you know, we always like to start the dad experience off with who lives with you guys at home. So Jeff, you want to let us know what's the makeup of your household?
So the makeup of my house includes myself, my wife, and my three children, oldest to youngest, Gavin, Ava, and Landon, 1296, and our dog, Bo, our mascot.
And you can't forget about the dogs. You know, I've forgotten about pets before on this show, and the guests aren't always that happy when you forget about them. So, you know, more power to you. You got to include the dog.
For sure. And at my house, I have my wife, Chelsea, and we have three children, my four-year-old daughter, Vera, and we have boy-girl twins. Camden is the boy, and Sawyer is our girl. They're turning two next week, actually, and no pets, but the kids are enough of a job as far as animals are concerned, I would say.
yeah, that they are a job. And, you know, I think it might be a good thing to mention that you guys, you know, our podcast here is in Michigan. We're outside of Detroit. You guys are Michigan guys, both of you, right, or no?
Yes, from Michigan. I actually grew up a short time from the big house, about 10, 15 minutes away. I know you're a Michigan State guy. Yeah, sorry.
Hey, there's nothing to be sorry about, man. It's all right.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I grew up, you know, bleeding maize and blue, and I grew up downriver, which is south of Detroit, and it was a great time.
I grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is Cereal City, USA.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud to be from Western Michigan. We actually had a few Western Michigan guests on our show, so we kind of play that up a little bit on our show. We talk about Michigan stuff a lot.
I'm far enough removed from it. I'll tell you, I still bleed green, and I still support my school that I went to. But I'm far enough removed that it's not that big of a deal. And you know what? You guys are probably going to hate me. I almost went to Ohio State because I wanted to march in a Big Ten marching band. So if that tells you anything, but I'm glad I went to Michigan State. I'm really proud of that and really happy about it. Just like I'm sure you guys are proud of going to Western Michigan. I mean, it's a great school.
Yeah, really proud of going there. And I'm actually proud of you for making a slightly better decision by going to Michigan State.
hey, you know what? I think part of it was my mom went to Western and she liked it. But she kind of encouraged me to go to you know, Big Ten school. And because my interests were in like marching band and things like that, I was kind of geared towards that stuff. So I think I got a little bit more experience with, you know, that experience being in those bigger venues for basketball and football. And being able to be on those stages, you know, if you will. So it was pretty fun. But it's always nice to have Michigan people. Actually, we kind of started our podcast, The Dad Experience, just interviewing mostly Michigan people because that's who I knew. So, you know, it's great to have more Michigan folks on. And I'm sure that our listeners love that aren't from, you know, even the United States, love hearing about Michigan stuff.
Yeah. So,
but, you know, you guys are podcast and content creators. You do great things. I love, you know, your Instagram feed, your podcast. It's all great. Tell us about why you started the podcast and what it's all about.
So we started the podcast, really we were just playing ping pong at night, having a few beers after the kids went to bed. You know, we were cracking each other up, you know, just having these conversations, and Kent said, you know, we should start recording it. And I said, sure, let's do it. And we started, and it turned out to be a really good thing.
No, oh, that's isn't it? Say that again.
He said the end. That's
the end. And that's it. Nice. But yeah, so, you know, Jeff, I know you guys are always creating and always doing stuff. And you guys mentioned that you are stay-at-home dads, both of you, yes?
Yeah, we're both stay-at-home dads.
And how kind of is that perceived when you tell your friends or tell your colleagues or your peers that you're stay-at-home dads?
Well, it's the funny thing is we don't have a lot of colleagues. We're in this like little community by ourselves, really. Jeff lives right across the street from me. So we have our family. It's all like intertwined right here on this street together. So we don't, when we do get out, it's all people that we don't know. And honestly, like down here in the South, it's not perceived well. And I wouldn't say that people would like bash us or anything like that. It's more of like a feeling that people kind of pity us more than anything, because it's crazy that it's 2019, but it's still not socially acceptable that the father is the one that's like staying at home for some people. Like they can't wrap their minds around it. And it actually led to one of our segments we have on our show called Bless Your Heart, because there's so many instances where we're out with our children and that exact thing would happen where people just say, oh, bless your heart that you're doing what you're doing. And they, you know, can't, again, like figure out that we're the ones that decided to take care of our kids while right. we're supporting our wives that are being very successful in the corporate world.
Yeah. And, you know, do you guys get, well, like from maybe other male friends or maybe even female friends that are like, wow, I wish I could stay home and be a stay-at-home dad? Because I think that perception of even when you are a stay-at-home dad and taking on the brunt of the things, which, you know, I totally get. Our former co-host was a stay-at-home dad and I have mad respect for him. But do you get that like, oh, you're a stay-at-home dad. It must be great to be at home and, you know, be able to be there all day with the kids and not really have to do anything and not go to work. Do you guys get that a lot?
I don't really get that a lot. Do you?
No, my friends don't really think that I'm not working, because I think that we put out enough of our own kids' content and I talk to them enough about like how hard it is to be a stay-at-home dad. Like I was a former teacher and I used to be around kids all the time anyways, but just being with my own kids is at least twice as hard as my old job. So the people that I'm close with, my friends and family, they know how hard it is. I've told them. So I don't really get that. Like, that's awesome. You don't have to work, because they know like what I'm doing and how difficult it is. And anyone that comes to visit us, they're like, oh, I would never want to do this.
I mean, I feel like you're always going to want both sides. You know, we wish that, you know, sometimes that we could go back to work so our wives could stay home with the kids and they feel the same way. I mean, I just feel like it's a grass is always greener on the other side type deal.
It's one of the reasons why, sorry to cut you off, Jeff, but it's one of the reasons why we, not the main reason, but it's partially why we wanted to start this like little platform that we have, is like, hey, this is okay to be a stay-at-home dad. And like, we want to talk about the fact that it's cool to do that and support your kids and your wife or your significant other, whoever it may be, and be the one that's being the, giving the impression to your kids on a day-to-day basis.
Right. And, you know, I'm glad you guys are doing it, because it is, it's important to do that. And it's not, it's gotta, I feel like it's really important to remove that stereotype that being the stay-at-home dad is Mr. Mom. I don't know if you guys remember that movie from the 80s, but, that's not what it, you know, it's not that, it's not the guy that's like fumbling all over himself and then finally gets it. I mean, we're all learning as parents, I guess, but, it's good to hear that you guys did that to kind of raise that awareness and share that out with folks. So, Bring Dad a Beer. It's a podcast. It's got beer on the title. So what's your favorite beer, guys? I'm hoping it's Michigan stuff.
Yes, my favorite is a Michigan beer. The Bell's Two Hearted is my all-time favorite, like everyday drinker. I found a different one that's made also in Michigan, up in Bel Air, way north. It's Schorts Brewery. They have one called a Superfluid. That's a double IPA that I really like.
And for me, I love Michigan beer. Whenever we drink it on the show, I give them a huge shout out. We try to tag them on our social media and whatnot. But my favorite beer of all time is the Sweetwater IPA, the yellow can, we call it sometimes. And it's kind of a local beer for me, because it's an Atlanta-based beer. And my wife and I, after we got married in Detroit, we moved a few months later straight to Atlanta, and we actually lived there for 7 years. And last year is when we moved to Nashville. So I was around Sweetwater a lot, and they kind of grew as we were there. and the brewery got really big and it got national like while we were there. And partially because I was drinking all their beer and I spent so much money on them. But I really like Sweetwater. I have like a soft spot for everything Atlanta because all my kids were there and it's a special place for me. So that's another reason why I really love that beer. Plus, it's amazing. It's delicious.
Nice. Nice. So we mentioned a little bit about being a stay-at-home dad. Being a stay-at-home dad, what is your typical day look like? I'm sure it's just craziness and just getting from point A to point B, but what does the day-to-day tasks look like?
So my day-to-day is a little different than Kent's. I'm more of like the taxi driver now. I just take my kids to and from their activities, and they're all over town. So I just really just end up spending 6 hours a day in the car fighting traffic.
Yeah, my typical day is more, excuse me, I'm sorry about that. It's more chaotic. It's from 6 a.m. until my babies go to bed around 8. Just constant cleaning. And I always feel like I'm playing catch up with whether it's laundry or dishes or what have you, chasing the kids around, trying to get them to go places. Anytime I go anywhere, like today, I went to the grocery store. Seems like I almost do that every day. And then did that this morning and this afternoon, I went to Chick-fil-A. And that seems like a really busy day. But honestly, that is a typical day for me because I can't be in the house with the kids all day. Almost any day because they'll start running up the walls and then I start going crazy. Anytime I get out of the house with the kids and I try to do it at least once a day, whether it's going to the park or going out to eat somewhere or whatever it is, that's a typical day for me to try to get them out at least once just to get a change of scenery for them and some sanity into our own lives, I guess.
Yeah. No, I hear you because I'll tell you what, today I was actually home because my kids were sick, running fever. So I stayed home and, you know, my wife went into work and we stayed in the house all day and it was nice. You know, it's in Michigan. It's just starting to turn around and get pretty nice out here. And, it was crazy having to be cooped up in the house all day. So I can't imagine day in and day out having to be in the house. Like I would have to get out too. I totally understand that. So, you know, whatever you got to do to get them, do you guys have a lot of like little things around? I mean, you're in Nashville, you got a lot of things to do. I don't know how far from the city you guys are, but, I'm sure there's lots of stuff for kids to do. It's a pretty kid friendly city though too, right?
Oh yeah. I just got a membership to a place called the Adventure Science Center, which my kids absolutely love. I go there at least once a week. Not to brag, but I have a pool in my backyard, so that's always helpful too. A little nerve-wracking right now because it is dirty right now, but the storm just came through, so give me a break, man. And the pool guy's coming tomorrow, so the pool is always helpful because I can get them out there and have them doing that. Like I was saying, a little nerve-wracking with the two-year-olds right now.
Yeah.
Always have to be like on high alert anytime they're in the backyard, but yeah, we always have something going on. And we have, I don't know if we mentioned this, but we have another brother-in-law that lives on our street. So total, we have 10 kids on our block that are all related to each other as cousins. So there's always something going on, whether it's dance or a soccer game or whatever it may be that I can take the kids to and go support my nieces and nephews too, which is really awesome. It's kind of a built-in friendship for them. And it's a really cool way for them to grow up, I think. It's unique for sure.
Yeah, that is unique. It's like you guys are taking over that street, right?
That's pretty great. Yeah.
It's pretty great though. That is. It's built in friends and they're like friends for life because you continue to see them even if something, you know, somebody was to move or whatever. So those are great bonds to build. Well, at this point, we're going to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch our podcast and many other parenting podcasts on their app. You can get that app at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. And stick around after the break. We're going to talk more with the guys from Bring Dad a Beer. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Again, we're here with the guys from Bring Dad a Beer podcast. Great guys so far, if you've been listening or just picking up now. But we're just going to kind of keep on going, hearing about their lives of stay-at-home dads and all the great things they do on their podcast. So, you know, guys, what is your single most favorite thing about being a stay-at-home dad?
So for me, I think that it's technically, like I know we were just talking about how much work it is and how it is a real job to be a stay-at-home dad, and it's actually harder than my old job was, but I think it is really cool that I don't have a job, that I have somebody telling me exactly what to do, and it gives me more freedom than I've ever had before. It's weird to be an adult and not have like a boss telling you what to do, because I've never had that since I was probably 17. So this is a new space for me to just kind of run my own life and control what I'm doing and what I'm doing with my kids. So I really like the fact that I don't have somebody telling me what to do, and I don't have like a 9-to-5 job that I have to clock in and clock out of and all that stuff that I used to be doing for the rest of my adult life, I guess I would say.
And for me, I guess I'm right. A little more sentimental about it. I just think it's cool to watch them grow up and just learn and you know, kind of be the example for them. You know, I like that part.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And it's nice to see that, probably for you guys to see them change as they go and see those subtleties that as the days go on. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm being at work all the time, things happen at daycare that you don't realize, and they're already doing them, and then the daycare people tell you that happened. So I'm sure seeing a lot of those milestones is pretty cool too. So what do you guys think is the hardest thing about being a stay-at-home dad?
You know, I've been doing it for so long that at this point, I have my routine. I have my schedule down, like, and my kids have it. They know what their roles are. They know what to do. And so I guess the hardest part, and it doesn't happen often, would just be, you know, when that schedule gets thrown off and we just got to kind of react to it. You probably got much harder.
Yeah, for me, it's really just like the amount of fecal matter that I have to deal with on a daily basis, because it's a lot, because I have twins that are 2 and they're not potty trained yet, which is coming soon, I hope. But I think that that for me, honestly, though, it's kind of missing out on the adult interaction. I mentioned before that we have a very tight-knit family and we're all on the same street. We're very close to each other. The people in my family are really the only adults that I've interacted with in the last year. As far as like face-to-face, I'm still talking with my friends from Atlanta and things like that via text. And I try to plan like guys' weekends and stuff like that where I can get away for a minute. But it was nice when I had my old job as a teacher. I had a lot of friends that we were kind of going through life experiences together, and we were able to like work with each other on stuff. And we always hung out on the weekends. So I miss having that daily like interaction with other adults that kind of kept me sane. That's kind of been my theme for this whole thing, right? Is like maintaining sanity with my 3 kids that are all crazy.
Well, and it is, and it's interesting that, like, I would imagine when you guys are home all day, that this, even as a teacher, I feel like a lot of times I get home and my wife's like, wow, you're talking like crazy when I get home. And it's like, well, I haven't really had a ton of adults to talk to at all today. So, you know, having that contact and that adult contact, that's probably, you know, something that's harder to deal with at times.
I feel like my wife feels the same way. When I have like even like a neighbor that comes over, I'm just like, what's it like out there in the world? What's going on out in the real world? Because I've been in my house all day and I don't really know what's going on because I'm focused on my kids so much. I probably am the same way, and I probably rub people that same way too. Like, please talk to me for more than 10 minutes, because all I do is watch a lot of kids movies and I'm going crazy. So please talk to me. No, it's not really like that. But yeah, there's a little bit of that vibe for sure.
So you guys have different age range of kids, and I'm sure there's been different experiences so far, but what to date has been your biggest takeaway as a dad so far? Maybe the biggest accomplishment, or just the biggest thing that you've learned so far as being a father?
That's a great question, because I actually had an experience literally just today in the car with my 4-year-old, and it really opened my eyes to something that answers that question for you, which is how impressionable children are, especially under the age of 5, I would say. They are watching everything that you do, and they are little mockingbirds, basically. So they'll copy everything that you do. And for the first time ever, and I haven't even told my wife this yet, so I'm going to actually wait for her to listen to this podcast to find out this story. But I heard my daughter, my 4-year-old, said the D word today for the first time in the car. because she was having some struggles with her iPad. And I literally pulled the car over and had a full, made her come up to the driver's seat. Like, we were in the parking lot and had a conversation about, like, you know, where did you hear that? Because I don't think she heard it from me. I usually don't curse around my daughter, but I tried to figure out, like, where she heard that from. And I know she didn't just pick up on that word from nowhere. So she heard somebody else saying that word and she used it. So it just kind of reminded me that I always have to be a good example for my kids and make sure that the way that I'm acting around them, which is hard, it's hard to be setting a good example for them at all times because you get frustrated, you get bogged down with stuff, they kind of overwhelm you sometimes, especially when there's three of them all day. But you always have to be setting an example because they're literally always watching you even when you don't think they are, and they're going to imitate you. So that's been my biggest takeaway as a parent, something that I probably knew before I was a parent, but I didn't really fully understand until I started seeing the fruits of that, I guess I would say. So that's been my mm-hmm. biggest takeaway, I think, so far as a dad.
So my biggest takeaway, let's see, you know, being a stay-at-home dad, and that's a tough transition. You got to have thick skin. And, you know, for me, my philosophy that I have, you know, personally, I try to bring that to being a dad and put that on my kids too. We just, you know, you make the best of it. And I try to give my kids a feeling of, you know, safety and comfort. And I love being the person that they look to when they have a problem or they need someone to cry on. And just seeing that trust that they have in me, I mean, that's probably the best thing for me, the biggest takeaway that, you know, I mm-hmm. love the most.
Right. So kind of on the flip side then, Kent, why don't we start with you? What do you think the biggest dad fail you've had has been?
Man, this was actually crazy when I think back on it. My daughter was 2 at the time. She's 4 now. So this was 2 years ago. I was cleaning some bottles that the twins were using. And I used to use this like microwave sterilizer. You basically put water in it and then you turn it on for like 5 minutes. The water gets really hot and the vapors like kind of clean the bottles and then you dry them out. So I was emptying the water out of that vaporizer and my daughter was playing in the sink at the same time. And it was just, again, one of those moments where it was like chaotic at the house. Both of my twins were basically newborns at this time. I think they were like 4 months. And things were going kind of crazy at the house, and I just kind of poured the water into the sink, and the water got on my daughter's hand, and it actually like burned her hand. And it took me like, seriously, you talk about like feeling like a failure, like there's nothing that you can do or say. Like, I lost probably the most amount of sleep that I've ever lost in my life. Like, that week as she was healing and like taking her back to the doctor, she's totally fine now. She's has no sign of a burn even on her hand anymore, which is like miraculous. But at that moment though, I just felt terrible. Like, the worst thing that you can do, I feel like, is do something that like physically or even emotionally like damages your kids. And it's a feeling that for me, like, I just could not get over. And I couldn't really get over it unless I had like, really, my wife was the main one that just like constantly was like talking me off the ledge. Like, you're a good dad still. Like, it was an honest mistake, like this and that and the other. And she really helped me get through that situation. But for me, it was like super tough. And I felt like a failure at that time. But I guess as a learning experience, it just, for me, I guess, was be more aware, be more cautious, and try to be more calm when everything else is chaotic in the house.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great example. Jeff, I mean, what about you?
I mean, there's no story like that that sticks out for me. But I mean, there's always things that I wish I had done differently. I don't know if I'd say regrets, but, you know, I'd try not to dwell on it. You know, you just try to fix it, move forward.
Right. Right. No, those are, and that's the thing too. I think when we can kind of just let go, sometimes some of those things just kind of figure themselves out. So we have a reoccurring segment on the show that we like to do. It's things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. It can be anything. It can be going to see a movie that you loved when you were a kid, or taking a trip, or anything, an event, whatever, just something that you can't wait to see through your children's eyes that maybe you want to relive your childhood again or just experience with them.
Yeah, that's funny that you just said movie, because that actually just reminded me in my head that my kids just started watching The Lion King and they're all three really into it right now. And that was like, I saw that movie in theaters when I was like my daughter's age, which is awesome. It's like, I can sing the songs to them and I'm like dancing around to like Be Prepared by Scar, and the kids are like laughing at me and stuff. So that was really, that was cool. It's weird to like watch a movie you watched as a kid with your kids because they're experiencing it the same way you are. But besides just The Lion King, which is awesome, everyone should check out that movie if you haven't already. But for me, it's like activities just in general. Like I was big into sports and my mom was like really supportive of me. And that was huge in my childhood, is like, that was kind of an outlet for me. And I'm never going to, like, even though I'm so into sports, I will never force my kids to do anything. My daughter's in dance right now. I think anyone that has ever seen her dance, can admit that she's not going to like Juilliard or anything like that, but she loves it. So like, it's so fun to see her participate in an activity that she has so much passion about, because it reminds me of me, like the first time I played soccer or football or basketball or whatever it is. Like, I get that same feeling for her. But another one though, and I don't mean to like dominate this, Jeff, if that's okay, but as we were talking about like making mistakes too, it just reminded me as well that you know, when you're going through stuff as a kid, and like even college or high school or whatever, it's really hard to like make your way in this world, I guess it would say. Not to sound like super like I know what I'm talking about or anything, but my mom was like huge on like letting me figure things out. And she was really awesome about that. And she let me make mistakes. She let me do things that other parents like probably wouldn't let their kids do. Like, I told her I didn't want to go to yearbook class anymore because I didn't like the teacher and I had enough credits to graduate already. And she was like, don't, that's a decision you have to make. You need to go talk to the principal and tell him you're not doing it anymore though. And you have to face him and tell him whatever you're really going to do. And you have to face the consequences for it, whatever he says. And she let me do that, like, which I don't think a lot of parents would let their kids do. It's awesome. But I'm excited to see my kids. I mean, this sounds so crazy, but I'm excited to see my kids make mistakes, because I think that's the best way to learn, right? Is if you make a big mistake, then you know what you did wrong and you can learn from it. Just like I was saying with my daughter earlier, like using a word she's not supposed to. She understood in that moment, like, because I put the fear of God in her, but she understood in that moment that, hey, I'm not supposed to do this. That was a mistake. I can't do that again, because that's language I'm not supposed to be using. So seeing that kind of through like their eyes as they're growing and watching them make mistakes and watching them learn from it is going to be really fun for me. I'm excited about that.
Right. Right. Jeff, what about you?
I'm going to go a little shorter.
Sorry.
My goodness. I love texting my sisters. Anytime one of my kids does something that reminds me of them or something that we used to do, like, that's fun for me. Like, my daughter was watching, this old movie that my sister loved growing up, you know, like Troop Beverly Hills, I think it was. And I just sent a picture of her watching it to her, and she, you know, she got a huge kick out of it. You know, seeing my son walk out the door with, you know, his cousin and his neighborhood friends just going to play basketball, and just reminds me of, you know, when I used to do that. And that, you know, those are things that make me happy. I'm glad I'm glad that I can give my kids that, you know, the same experiences.
Right. And you know, that's great too, that you kind of share it with your sisters. That kind of brings a whole new level to it, which is pretty neat. That's pretty cool that you guys do that. I bet that's pretty special and pretty reminiscent, I would imagine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have a podcast, Bring Dad a Beer, and you're on social media. This is your chance, guys. Let folks know, let the Dad Experience listeners know, you know, where they can find you and all that great stuff.
So our amazing podcast, like you said, it's called Bring Dad a Beer. We're pretty much everywhere that you can listen to podcasts, like all the major ones, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. And this weekend when we were at PodX, I learned about a lot of other platforms that I didn't know we were on. I think like when you're on some of the other platforms, you get on smaller apps. Like I know Google like pushes us out to like all of their like smaller podcast apps. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find our show. And I think that
proud member of Parents on Demand,
that knows anything about parenting or just likes
for families,
or,
just
hey,
like
just
yours.
Likes to have a good time.
Download
that's really
our
what we do on
our
show. We
app
drink
on
and
Apple
we
and Android
talk about pop culture
and
stuff. We talk about everything. We don't even talk about parenting that much, to be honest, but it's a really fun show. So I think people would enjoy it. Some other couple of exciting things that we are doing right now. We actually just today launched our store. We had a lot of people like asking us for like logoed merchandise, and it kind of forced our hand to like do it. So we finally did it, and we're selling stuff for the first time, which is really weird because that was never our intention when we started this. And then we also just today launched a group chat app, which I think you and I chatted about earlier a little bit. It's called Flick. It's basically like a private group chat that we can like interact with our fans. And it's, I think it's a lot better than some of the social media that's already out there because it's like a direct connection with our audience that a lot of other people, I mean, you can do that kind of on other social media, but it's something that's different. It's cleaner and it's very user friendly and I really like it. So, obviously we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. I tweet all the time. I don't think Jeff has ever, Jeff, have you ever opened Twitter yet? Have
no.
You? I don't think he has. So I'm big on Twitter.
Twitter over there.
Yeah. we're on Instagram like heavy. We do a lot of Instagram stories and all that good stuff. We really like try to do as much as we can with the time that we have to reach people that like what we do and that are entertained by what we do, I guess, which is so weird to say because like we said from the beginning, this was just something for us to do as a hobby and it's turned into this.
No, it's great. It's a great podcast. And you know, I know that a lot of our listeners would love listening to it. So they'll be checking you out, I'm sure. Well, guys, thanks again. It's been great. I'm really glad you joined us here on The Dad Experience.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun.
No problem.
Yes.
Don't forget that The Dad Experience is a part of that Parents on Demand network. And if you have a question for one of our guests or you want to be on the show or have a show topic, email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. We're also on most social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for The Dad Experience. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Dad Experience.